I think that several of you should be able to reflect back and remember the Bud Light commercial from years ago before Dilly Dilly and before Wazza and before any of those things. There was the Bud Light commercial that was tastes great, less filling. Some of you can remember this, I hope. Otherwise, my opening analogy is just in the water already. Okay, great. Here's how it went. The quick version of it. Invariably, pick your setting, there would be people drinking Bud Light. And some would say that this is really wonderful because it tastes great. And some would say, no, it's really wonderful because it's less filling. And before you knew it, a couple people would join in the argument, no, no, it tastes great. No, no, it's less filling. And the commercials just escalated. And eventually you'd have entire groups, entire crowds, I don't know, entire nations arguing, it tastes great, no, it's less filling. But the idea was they were seeing two different sides and vehemently arguing about two different sides of the proverbial same coin, right? I mean, they were both arguing good attributes of the one thing they were enjoying and coming at it from different perspectives. And again, if you remember the commercials at the end, it was always like a shouting match. Tastes great, less filling. And anyhow, I bring that up because that's what this next series is going to be about. As we go through Lent, which begins again this Wednesday, we're going to take a look at beer. And we're going to talk about it. I mean, I realize as I'm making the analogy, like, this is the best possible thing. Hey, I'm not promoting any particular alcoholic beverage or alcoholic beverages at all. So I just needed you to hold on to the, listen, somebody else want to preach today? I just need you to hold on to the image of like two sides yelling at each other, and it shouldn't be difficult. So as we talk about this series, which in all seriousness is going to be called More Love and Less Hate, it's two sides of the same coin, right? So more love is great, and it involves less hate. Less hate is great, but it involves more love, and it's all together. But the problem is, the problem that really isn't funny, the problem that you see, and you can probably resonate with the idea of two sides yelling at each other, is that it's everywhere in the world today. It's everywhere. I mean, let me think for a long time and enter deep thought. How about politics? We're going to govern the country. Just kidding. We're going to go for the win. I'm not saying Democrats are right or Republicans are right or whatever party. I'm just saying it has become less about getting it done for the good of the people and more about we're going to win out, okay? How about, let's just pick another realm. Oh, I know. How about between nations, especially when you talk about arms? We are less united as a world. Even though we have more technology to help us grow, and you can reach out and you can FaceTime and you can be talking with your friend in Japan while it's 2:30 in the morning because you have an iPad, and there's all that great technology, yet we are less united, I believe, than ever before because, well, again, political sway, and we talk about armaments, and it just, good heavens, does the world really seem like it's coming together, or does kind of national pride and everything else seem like it's pushing us farther apart? You can hear, again, there are sides, and there's yelling. And you can take even the church, and you can say there are issues on which Christ called us to be one in him, and you can find sides and very ugly sides to arguments happening in the church. And the United Methodist Church just about became the Divided Methodist Church. And I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm saying it because it's everywhere you look. Sadly, and I get a touch emotional talking about this, in the NFL, you get people that are pro-patriots and you get people that are anti-patriots and, you know, do you love them or you hate them? Do you stand for the national anthem? Do you kneel for it? Come on, it's everywhere. I'm telling you, it's everywhere. You don't have to look far. And if you think, yeah, well, that's kind of an adult problem, at least the kids don't notice, you're wrong. A, kids are more observant than you're giving them credit for, and B, it's so rampant. It's everywhere. So when I talk about a series, More Love and Less Hate, and some of you can look at that title and be like, this should be the simplest series of messages ever. I think I could train my dog to say, more love, less hate, and he would speak. It goes so deep into who we are and where we're at as a society that it has to be said. So this series, I want to be absolutely clear, because I think I've already lost many of you. I want to be absolutely clear. This series is not to unite us all to one side of any particular topic, all right? That is not my goal. The series is not intended to say we just need to smudge the lines on everything and everyone will be fine. The series is not to tell you which side is right and which side is wrong. It's not designed to say, well, if we ignore the differences, that's we need to ignore it. No. This series, very seriously, is designed to talk about how we handle differences, how we live in the midst of conflict, and to ask ourselves, what is the witness as Christians that we are to have in a divided world, okay? When the world around us is divided, how do we handle it? How are we called to live? And what, if we follow Jesus Christ, is our witness supposed to be? So again, this week, I am trying to build the foundation for us to spring from. I'm trying to lay the ground level and make sure we've got that down before we move on. That's what I'm aiming for this week. And yes, that is the reason for 30,000 Bible verses. Next week, 70. So a couple of verses up front. Having been, I hope, clear on why we're doing this series, amidst the 30,000 verses, if I could have you remember two, it would be the following two verses. Get ready. Get your Bible app open. Get your Bible open. Get the Pew Bible open. Make a mark. Make a note. Highlight these. And if you don't do anything else with what I say, I want you to consider these as you go through your week. All right? Can we do that? Are you with me? Genesis 22:18. The old Abrahamic covenant, God talking with Abraham and talking about what he will be and all of that. Genesis 22:18 is very important. Through your offspring, God says to Abraham, all nations on earth. Somebody quick name a nation. That's right, it's included. Somebody quick name another nation. That's right, it's included, okay? Through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. These are the words that we understand as best we can that God gave to Abraham through you and your offspring, every nation on earth, everyone, all of them, completely inclusive, will be blessed because you have obeyed me. And then along with that, Leviticus, that's right, I just said Leviticus. We're going to use one of those. Leviticus 19:33. And this is more kind of the sentiment of the verse, but it's important. I want you to take these two together. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. For you were once foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Take those two verses and whatever you need to do, write them in your bulletin again, look them up, mark them, tattoo them on yourself, whatever. Take those two verses, and if you get nothing else, I need you to look at those. Because it talks about an Old Testament ethic. It talks about a characteristic of God. It talks about attributes that can be found if we just take the first half of the Bible, the OGOT, if we just look at that portion that so many people say, well, it promotes violence, and really it's about hate, and it shows a God that's just a vengeful and angry God, and I'm not arguing against you that there are problem passages, but what I'm saying is God's intention was to bless all of the nations as the nation he chose obeyed him. and that God's intention was that we would love the foreigner. Let's replace foreigner with the person who's different from us. Let's replace different from us with other, just not us, as we love ourself. And if you can hold those two verses, the rest of what I have to say is just going to be ramblings about that. But that's foundational. Again, I haven't even gotten to Jesus. Jesus wasn't even in the picture. This is at the beginning of God forming a nation, the beginning of the testimony of who God is and what God's about. Those are the words. You will be a blessing to all nations. And you need to love the other just like you love yourself. So if you say those are isolated, Pastor Devin, I don't find those to be true all the way through. I have problems with that. I would argue again, this is a characteristic of God that is true, that does hold, that you can find. And so here's my laundry list now. 30,000 verses. I love it. Are you ready? God does not really? Excellent. Great. God does not delight in punishing. Believe it or not, this is something that God sits around, got like the big God hammer. He's like, oh, who's going to step out of... That felt so God good. God does not delight in punishing. Listen to this. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God made a category, and it's those that don't follow him. God called that category the wicked. And God said, as surely as I live, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather would have that they would turn from their ways and live. Fascinating. This is the God we find in the Old Testament. Again, as we think of God blessing nations and calling us to love others, even those that have turned from and don't love him, God says, I take no pleasure in their death. I would so much rather they would turn from their ways and live. Or how about this one from Deuteronomy 30? When all these blessings and curses that I have set before you, God says to the nation, when they come upon you and you take them to heart, whatever the Lord your God disperses, whenever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and all your soul, according to everything I commanded you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again. Even if you have been banished to the most deserted land under the heavens, from there the Lord God will gather you and bring you back. God talking about when people rebel against him, when people choose to do other things, when people feel like they're being punished, maybe they deserve the punishment, whatever the case, God says, still, when you turn your heart to me, I will gather you back. You can be in the farthest region. You can be in the most foreign of foreign nations, to use the biblical language. You can be wherever, and if you turn your heart to me, I will gather you back. God never delighted in punishing, and I think that's important. Along with that, God instructs us one step further to help and to love our enemies. To help and to love our enemies. Most of you, when you think of an enemy, you're like, what's my biggest vehicle? And where can I catch them walking? No, God says you should help them. You should love them, just like the children heard. A couple examples of that. Exodus 23, if you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to chop its legs off and say, No. Exodus 23:4 says, if you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to return it. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you falling under its own load, don't leave it there. Be sure to help them with it. Extend that love of the other person, even if that other person happens to be your mortal enemy. Help them out. That's a characteristic of God that rings true. Proverbs 24:17, do not gloat when your enemy falls. Let's be honest. How many of you love when someone that you don't love takes a fall? You just like, you want to record that moment on TV, you want to see it replayed on the internet. I do this too. And I won't go into examples because I'm not being a good example. But listen, all of us take a certain amount of delight, if we're honest, when our enemies take a fall, when people we don't like have misfortunes, like, yeah, that's terrible. God says, don't be that way. Proverbs 25:21, the author writes again, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. Huh. Jesus said that? No, Jesus didn't. That's written in Proverbs. This is the Old Testament ethic, again, that we're going to build on, and I need you to lock it down in your heads, that God has said from the beginning, I will bless all the nations, but it's going to come through you as you obey me. And I'm telling you right now, love the other. God instructs us to love those that are outside of us, foreigners in the case of the Israelites, those that were not of their nation. God chose this nation and raised it up like his child and said, you're going to be a light to the other nations, but how about those outside your nation? Listen to what God says in Exodus, like the just out of Egypt part. Okay, nation, here we go. Exodus 22:21, do not mistreat or oppress a foreigner, for you were foreigners in Egypt. God appeals to where they had been as slaves. Jeremiah, we can go to the prophets. Some of you are like, yeah, but that's just, well, here's a prophet, okay? If you do not oppress the foreigner or the fatherless or the widow, if you do not shed innocent blood in this place, if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, I will let you live in this place and the land I gave your ancestors forever and ever. Those are God's instructions. Don't oppress the foreigner. Don't hurt those that are fatherless or widowed or shed innocent blood. Don't do any of that. If you want the blessings I have for you, follow me. Make sure that you're loving others, others that are your enemies, others that are not a part of you, others that weren't originally of this group. God instructs, stop the hate, you need to love them. And again, Leviticus 19:33. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as you love yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. All Old Testament references, all just as far separated from Christ as any piece of scripture can be, all talking about this characteristic of God, that even though we have some verses that we don't understand, and some things that happen that makes us wonder, still this thread weaves true throughout the Old Testament. That God says, I am going to use you to bless everyone, so I'm going to need you to love everyone. And calls them to it. And this is so terribly important to me and to what I want to share with you. Calls them to it because you were once foreigners in Egypt. How many of you have been Egypt recently? It doesn't matter. That's nonsense. But God says to his people, the Israelites in the Old Testament, you were once foreigners. You know how it feels. You were once slaves, and you know how it feels. You were captives. You were mistreated. You were on the outside. And if I can paraphrase, God says, it's by my grace that you are who you are today. It's because of my goodness to you. You weren't special. You weren't better than anyone else. You weren't created this much higher. You didn't earn it. There wasn't something about you, but God says, by my grace, you are not slaves, and you are not foreigners. And you are gathered in, and you are loved. Now you take all that and be a light to the other nations because of it. And I want you to hear this, because some of you are saying, I don't get it. Listen, you were on the outside once too. If you're here this morning and you say, I believe that there is a God, and I believe the best representation of that God was when he sent Jesus in a human form, and I have accepted that as the truth for my life. If you say that this morning, you were once at a place where God didn't have to give you anything. You were once at a place where you were at odds with God. You were once an outsider. You were a foreigner. Maybe you were mistreated. Maybe you had been punished and you deserved it. Maybe not. But God said, you know what? By my grace, by my grace, I will bring you in. So as we go on through this series, again, trying to lay that as a basis, we are who we are. And we are where we are because there's a God that is big enough and generous enough and loving enough that we are there. It would have been easy for God to go like, oh, I saved the God hammer and it's a new one and I've polished it for just such an event. And just smitted, whatever the past tense is, all of humanity. It would have been easy for God to say, I've had enough. It would have been easy for God to say, forget all of you. I don't need you. I never did. I created you. But instead, God said, even though you mess up, and even though you fall, and even though you turn away, I will love you, and I will accept you, and I will show you how to do the same to others. Do that. So the heartbreaking thing for me, and again, I had my fun with the NFL, but in all seriousness, I spent a lot of time, I spent way too much time this week watching the proceedings of the United Methodist Church. And some of you are like, I don't care about the politics of the United Methodist Church, but some people do, and so I feel I need to share this. We had a specially called session of a general conference, and that is the Global United Methodist Church. And they got together because there have been so many battles. There have been so many people yelling on two sides of the issue of human sexuality. And they were trying to decide, once and for all, who are we as the United Methodist Church and what are we going to do going forward? And the part that just about killed me was, A, how much time I spent watching the proceedings. I feel like I lost so much this week. But seriously, the part that about killed me was how they went about this. The United Methodist, and the key word is the last word, say it with me, the United Methodist Church. This body of people that passionately believe that there is a God who's full of grace and love. Argued like school kids that desperately wanted each other's death. And I hated it. There were allegations of bribery for voting. There were accusations made in microphones so that everyone could hear. There were protests. At one point, a person came and removed the cross from the stage. There was fighting. There was all kinds of name-calling, everything from immature to extremely hurtful. And this happened in the United Methodist Church. This happened in the United Methodist portion of the body of believers in Jesus Christ. And I'm saying, we can't do this. No matter where you fall on the lines of any issue, God still says, I want to bless all the nations through you. I want to use you as a light. I want you to be a witness. I want you to love the other person. I want you to know that sometimes, I imagine God would say, sometimes there's going to be a division that you're going to fall, and you're on this side, and you're on this side, and you're never going to come to the same terms. But there's a way that you can handle living in the midst of that, that you don't have to see that person as the other, as the rejected, as the outside, but you can love them. Say, I don't agree with you, but you were an outsider just like I was, and we are who we are by the grace of God. And the United Methodist Church couldn't do it. Regardless of the decision they arrived at, you can read my newsletter, and I talk about the decision they arrived at. And if you want to know, they settled on keeping everything worded the same way that it is. The discipline they arrived at, we will not change that. It doesn't become official until 2020, and they have to figure out how in the world they're going to keep it and enforce it. But regardless of whatever you feel about that, whatever side you're on, whatever it is, that went down in the worst way possible, and it was heartbreaking. Because we, as people who believe in Jesus Christ, have a witness to the rest of the world. We have a way that we need to live in the midst of a world that's divided. And we need to call the one that stands higher than any issue that we will ever encounter. Do not mistreat or oppress the foreigner among you, for you were once foreigners. But love them as you love yourself. Through you, God seeks to bless all nations.